Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
So I've been following a band for some time, but now they've hit it big and everyone knows about them. You know you should be happy for their success, but you're not. You're incredibly annoyed. Do you ever wonder what that is?
Well, we're going to share a theory that we've come up with that answers that very question and underlines the importance of creating communities around your music and rewarding superfans for their support and loyalty.
Hey, how's everyone doing? For Bridge Atlantic, I am singer-songwriter Marcin Novelli from Canada.
And I'm music web designer Ross Barber-Smith from Scotland.
And you're watching B-Sides, a show empowering musicians with knowledge and advice. If you're new here, subscribe.
So as Marcio said, you know, it can be really annoying when you've been following a band for a while and they've become big, everyone knows about them, and you are kind of annoyed at that and you're not really sure why. So what we want to talk about is the importance of creating communities around your music and rewarding your superfans for their support.
So superfans, we should probably jump in and say, what is a superfan? How can someone be a fan in superhero mode? Well, they can be. A fan is someone who digs your music, probably buys it, probably, you know, wants to go to your concerts and so on and so forth. But Ross, a superfan is so much more than that. You know, how would you define superfan? And have you ever been a superfan of any artist?
I mean, I think a superfan is someone who is like an intense version of a fan, I guess. So like they are more than someone who just buys some of your music and goes to some of your shows. It's someone that really wants to buy everything that you release and they want to go
live
to every
and
show. Exactly. They're very dedicated to you. They are not only dedicated to you, but they're an ambassador for you. Like they will tell all their friends about you. You know, to me, that's what a superfan is. I remember D. Grant Smith in one of our previous interviews actually defined a superfan as someone who would kind of do anything for you. They would go out of their way to help you. Whereas I think a fan supports you, but not to the same level as a superfan would.
Right. So how this relates to this whole dilemma, like I was actually in the shower a lot yesterday and this came to my mind. I was just, you know, thinking about artists that I've loved, I've followed for years. And then, you know, when they really hit it big, I was annoyed or I didn't really want to listen to them anymore, which is kind of silly. Right. And I've thought about this, you know, their music hasn't changed. What I loved about them hasn't changed. So what is it that has changed? And it really hit me. It was the community that had changed, right? It was the people listening to their music. And why should that matter? If you like a band, you like their music, who cares who else is listening to them? Well, it doesn't matter for the music itself, but it does matter for the whole experience, which is something that really clicked just in that moment. And, you know, I needed to come on here and just talk about it. It's the idea when you like a band, that's one thing. But when you become a super fan or really into an artist, I feel like the reason you do is because there's a community behind that artist, right? I can drop a few bands that I think have such super fans, such a community. Everyone from Green Day to 30 Seconds to Mars to 21 Pilots. I think these bands have created such communities that have actually allowed the bands themselves to try many different things stylistically in their careers or even take years off, like in Green Day's case, take 5 years in between albums. And, you know, but because they've built that community of fans, I think that they're allowed some freedom and there's just, they kind of know that, you know, some other bands can disappear. And if they don't have an album in a year or two, they're gone, you know, but certain bands, again, 30 Seconds to Mars is another example, can go 5 years in between albums and have a following still because they have that community, those super fans. Now, what got me thinking about this was 30 Seconds to Mars' latest album that is very stylistically different. And, you know, I've even experienced in the past, when I first started listening to them back in the day, many years ago, 15, 16, 17 years ago, you know, the people at the shows, I felt the camaraderie. I felt like they were like me, you know, they're into other bands like myself. As the years went on and Jared Leto, the frontman of 30 Seconds to Mars, got a bit more popular, you started seeing not to be judgmental, but, you know, very skimpily, is that even a word?
The crowd had changed. Let's just say that. Yes, the crowd had changed.
The crowd changed, and, you know, girls were coming there not because of the music, but because they saw him in a movie and they wanted to get his attention. Let's just put it that way, right? So that kind of felt annoying because I'm like, there's not really the community here. Like, I'm enjoying the music, but part of enjoying the music was looking around, giving a smile to someone that you felt like they got you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think that's being lost amongst some artists when they become very big or they make a huge stylistic change in their music, right? So being on the other side of that, watching this happen and also being a fan of artists where this has happened, you know, it makes me one, applaud bands like Linkin Park. I think that from the beginning, way back before people were streaming online or, you know, they were really ahead of the curve and they created a community, right? But what I'm trying to get to here is we should all be curating communities with our music. But what happens when you have that community that you can chat with and tweet back to and have a conversation? What happens when your fan base just shoots and skyrockets to 100 times its size? There's no way to keep track with all those people, right? So the idea is realizing the difference between a fan and a super fan. Fans dig your music, but those super fans are most likely the vast majority of people that were there from the beginning, or the people, again, that come in along the way, but that just love you a little more. You know, what do you do for them? Well, you have to take that community you have, and when you get to a certain point, turn that into a fan club. I mean, if you're a small to moderate size artist, I don't think personally there's a place for a fan club. I mean, you can start a Patreon or some sort of thing like that, which awards the super fans. But I think so that kind of makes sense there. But I think when you get to a certain place, you need a very dedicated, separate area for those super fans to feel like they still have a community. To connect with other people that they feel like are like themselves, because those communities often have meetups before the shows or after the shows, so they still feel like, you know, that they belong, I guess. Everyone wants to have a place to feel like they belong. And when you love a band and suddenly you feel out of place at a concert, which has happened to me before, a band that you've listened to for many years, and then you're like the odd person out into that band, even though you've been listening to them way longer, you know, there needs to be a way. So I leave that to the artist. And I do want to backtrack a little bit here because I did say, you know, maybe there's not a place for a fan club early on, but it really, I think that there is. I think it just needs to look different. You know what I mean? I personally, as a musician, I have a Patreon where, you know, my most dedicated following, I guess you can call them super fans, come on and support me there. But I reward them with extra things. They get demos every month. They get, you know, access to things that other people don't. I love all my following and I appreciate every single person listening to my music. But, you know, if certain people are willing to go the extra mile, so am I for them, you know? So that's something to consider and that's something to remember. And I wish someone were telling these bigger bands this too, because, you know, I think sometimes they just get so excited by their massive success. They do forget about those super fans that have been there either from the beginning or again, coming along the way, but are just that much more enthusiastic about their music. Because the one thing they're forgetting is, you know, no band is at the top forever. So, you know, there's a saying that you see the same people on the way up. You see the same people on the way down as you saw on the way up, or something like that.
Yeah.
So if you don't treat those people that were there on the way up well when you're at your peak, you know, they might not be there on your way down. And you want them there if you want to have a long-lasting career.
Yeah. And I think, you know, one thing that artists can do to kind of ensure that their super fans feel valued is remember that appreciation is a two-way street. So, you know, you've got to be showing your fans that you appreciate the support that they're giving you. And whether that's, you know, offering them something exclusive, you know, giving them extra content, similar to what you do on Patreon and what a lot of artists do on Patreon, you've got to keep that going. And I think having some kind of sort of private, maybe not private club, but, you know, like a club where...
Exclusive club.
A club where you and, you know, the people that are part of that club can all communicate together is a really good thing, because there's nothing better than a strong community built around your music. It's just a matter of sustaining that once things grow, which I think is probably, you know, the challenge for a lot of artists.
And the idea too is some people have thought, oh, that's strange. Why do I have to pay to be a part of a fan club? Well, there's a really good reason for that. If you didn't, then everyone would be a part of that. You'd be in the same situation. So the idea is if someone's willing to dish out even $20 or, you know, any price a month or a year, it just shows the artist, okay, this person's a little bit more serious about my music, which means I can share a little bit extra with them, whether it's being a bit more personal or sharing behind the scenes stuff. So it really is the idea, is just reward your super fans at any level of the game. You know, I don't know why I just call it a game, but any level of your career, recognize those super fans, because even if you're playing to a room of 50 people or 10 people, you know, if one of those 10 people are incredibly enthusiastic about your music, like overly enthusiastic, and everyone else digs it, and, you know, maybe you sold out of those 10 people, you sold 3 shirts, you know, but, you know, the idea is the one person that wanted everything you had and just is in love with you in your music, that's a super fan. Reward them separately.
You want to hold on to them. You want to hold on to them.
So it doesn't matter what level of success you're at.
Absolutely. And I think that's probably a good place for us to wrap up. I mean, we may do something more about super fans in the future, because there's probably quite a lot that we could talk about.
Yeah.
But please do let us know in the comments, you know, what you found useful, what you'd like to hear more about. And you can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you want to pick up one of our shirts and be a super fan too, visit our website and use coupon code BTARocks, and you will receive 20% off your order, because we love you and appreciate you.
This episode was brought to you by our awesome patrons and by Social Surge, your source for social media marketing and online music promotion. Check them out, because they do what, Ross?
They keep the show alive.
That's right.
And if you would like to sponsor the show and become an official Bridger, join our Patreon from as little as $1 per month. Not only will you be able to showcase your band or brand to our amazing audience, but your support will allow us to keep bringing you weekly videos here at Bridge the Atlantic.
All right, so that's it for B-Sides. Let us know what you thought about that, and we will see you soon, right?
We'll see you next time. Bye!
That's right. Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.